He shed his blood for everyone. But everyone don't believe. The blood is not applied to you if you don't believe. Now when he applies the blood, then he washes you clean. You're not washed just because he died. Now that makes you be able to be clean. You understand it? You're going to have to believe it yourself. It's for everybody. It's not, Daddy don't do it for all the family. Daddy does it and then gets the rest of the family to do it. Alright? That's what it's supposed to be. But it's an individual thing. So are you saved this morning? We'll just start there. Are you saved this morning? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been cleansed and clean and know for a fact that you've been born again? Huh? Good singing this morning. Good singing in Sunday school. Good singing here in the congregation. Good singing here in the special singing. Glad you're here. And I want you to listen this morning. This will be our last message on Sunday. We'll finish up Wednesday. But this will be our last message on Sunday about our theme. Coming fully alive in 2025. And I'm hoping and praying that you're getting a handle on a little bit of things that is helping you. And we'll see, because the proof will be in the pudding. All right, we'll see whether or not you're going to come fully alive or not. And if you don't, then you're just going to miss out. You're just going to miss out. Now, we had, and I don't want to put salt in anybody's wound, but we had a good time Friday. Yes. And food was good. And I looked down at the desserts, just so you'll know. Anybody here like sweets? Anybody here like sweets? Well, all right, there was chocolate cake, caramel cake. There was lemon glazed cake. There was orange glazed cake. There was peach dumplings. Blueberry dumplings, blueberry cobbler, pineapple upside down cake. There was cherry cheesecake, blueberry cheesecake. There was sand. There was peanut butter sand. There was ooey gooey peanut butter stuff. That's ooey gooey great. I don't think we missed anything. Now, that's just, y'all didn't get none of that. Y'all missed it. And the kids got to eat it this morning. There's some leftovers downstairs. Just want to tell you, see, a lot of times we miss the sweets. Yeah. All right? I announced when we was feeding everybody that we had some smaller plates for dessert, and Dave Butler fell over, fainted. So he thought I was serious that he couldn't put his desserts in a big plate. And he just had a panic attack. But now, the reason I said that, that's the way we are with the Lord. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. All right? The Bible talks about Him being sweet and His Word being sweet. And Brother Dennis even mentioned Friday night preaching that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Eat the sweet. Eat the fat. Amen. Drink is sweet and don't be sorry about it. That's what it says. All right, don't be sorry. But that's Nehemiah. But I want you to know that's the way we are with the Lord. And we miss out on things. So if you don't come fully alive, you're just going to miss out.
Yeah.
All right? Now, you got to be alive, then you come fully alive. All right? Now, if you're alive, okay, a lot of people are satisfied with just going to heaven. Well, shame on you if you're just satisfied getting in by the skin of your teeth. Huh? Why don't you enjoy this as you go? Why don't you enjoy it? Huh? They nothing better than the Christian life. I said, I'm going to tell you something else about Friday. I stood back there, everybody was eating and everything, and I got back off the kitchen just to listen. I tell you what I listened to. I listened to a time of fellowship. Laughing, talking, cutting up, eating, just enjoying, 80 people just enjoying being together. Right? Now that's all because of what the Lord has done. We got together over the Bible. Then I come in here and I listen to you this morning. You sing. Listen, we already have everything. We don't need nothing else. God has given us everything we need to enjoy the greatest gift that's ever been given. But we've got to use it. We've got to use it, all right? So, that's just a thought this morning, all right? Everybody all right? Let's pray together. Father, I come just now. You are wonderful. And we can't praise you enough. Lord, if I would start, it would be all through eternity. I believe that's why we'll be able to stand around the throne in new bodies, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," and be able to praise you for all eternity. You're worth all of it this morning. Now, Lord, I need your help. I'm wicked. I'm a wretch. I'm dirty. I ask you to cleanse me. Help me to preach, teach. Help me to do as you want me to do. Lord, for your glory, and Lord, may we magnify your name together today. Speak to every heart. For those that may be lost here this morning, I pray that you might speak to them, that they might understand that they're lost. And Lord, if they'll understand that they're lost, they'll be saved today. Lord, I thank you for that simplicity of salvation. Lord, I pray that there might be an understanding in the hearts and minds of men, women, boys, and girls, that they understand that they're lost today, that they might be saved today. Lord, thank you for it all. Now help us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, go ahead and kick me off, Jeremy. I know I won't be able to go. Nope, nothing but black. I knew it. Learn to listen to me, son. Huh? Well, look up there where it says black on the screen. Huh? Well, that ain't no trouble. We still preach. You got it going? Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Now that would shake a lot of people up. It don't bother me. So y'all just be patient, okay? The trouble is not, the trouble's in the set. It's got nothing to do. This is the signal coming in, all right? Everybody okay? Now a lot of people say, "Oh, look what the devil's doing." No, that's just mechanical error. It's all it is. Now the devil may have something to do with it. That's true. All right. You flip it. Hey. See? All right. But that's in the Bible, too. Yeah. And that's where I got that. Y'all understand. I got that out of my Bible. All right. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now that's what we've been talking about. That life more abundant, coming fully alive in 2025. All right. And abundantly, it says in large quantities, plentifully, extremely, exuberantly. You can't explain it. The life and the full life that Christ gives us cannot be explained. It's too great. You've got to experience it. All right? When you try to tell somebody about being saved, they don't understand what it is to be free from sin. They don't understand what it is to be forgiven. All right? Until they experience it, and then they say, "Wow, this is wonderful." And that's the same way it is with anything. You've got to experience the fullness of the Lord. And you don't have to pray special to get it. But I do tell you this, you're going to have to live a little different. You're going to have to seek it. You're going to have to, you know, you can't live like hell and enjoy the things of God. Everybody know that? All right. So give me a minute here. And I'm going to get loose here myself. Loose him and let him go. That's where we're at today. All right. All right. So we've been looking at the miracle of Jesus rising from the dead. Okay. And using that as an example. And most everybody's been in church at any time know the account of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And he was alive and he died. And then he was alive. The Lord raised him, called him forth, but he had grave clothes on. And then he said, loose him and let him go. He come fully alive after all the hindrances and everything that was blocking was took away. Then he come fully alive. And that's where we're at today. That we want to be fully alive with all the hindrances, all the things set aside that's going to keep us from doing it. That's where we want to be. Now, this is the seventh and last miracle that John records in the Gospels of John. All right? There was more miracles, but he recorded seven. This is the last one. All right? And he wrote even that if he wrote down everything that Jesus did, then the world couldn't contain the books. It says there in John 21, 24, and 25, this is a disciple, speaking of himself, John, which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that this testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself cannot contain the books that should be written. Amen. I want you to understand, we're not dealing with a little puny God, but we're dealing with the great God of glory. Jesus Christ is God, and He lives in you. If you're saved, He lives in you, and you're going to have to get a handle on this, that He lives in you. He lives in you. If you're saved, He lives in you. You already have everything you need in Christ, for we are complete in Him. That's what we read Wednesday night out of Colossians, that we're complete in Him. John 20, 30 and 31 says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have what? Life. He wants us to have life. Do you believe that this morning? He wants you to have life, not exist. We got too many Christians that satisfied existing. We need to live. Live, live, live. Huh? That's what we need. And it's through His name. Now, we see Lazarus dead, and yet he lived. And we've all been dead. Now, I'm preaching mainly to the Christian this morning. We've all been dead. If you're lost, you're dead now. All right? And we can't stress enough that this life is a life of victory. Yes. Listen, there's not a person in here that don't have battles. There's not a person in here that ain't been defeated. There's not a person in here that's not had mind battles, physical battles. We've had spiritual battles. We've been in warfare. We've been up. We've been down. We've been in. We've been out. Is that not true? That's us in our Christian life. That's how you measure a Christian. It's up and down. It shouldn't be in and out, but up and down. We measure our life that way. But can I tell you, this life is the life of victory. From the cross to the crown is the life of victory. Think about that. Christ won the victory at the cross. Huh? Think about that. But so often we bound. So often we're bound up and we're going to have to be set free. All right? There's three commands at the tomb of Lazarus we mentioned last week to you. Take away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. Loose him and let him go. And last week we looked at that last command, the first part of it, loose him. But this morning we're going to look at this and let him go. That's what we want you to, be free this morning. And let him go. Huh? Everybody want to be free this morning? Yeah. How many likes freedom? Yeah. Huh? We'll all talk about, boy, I'm glad I'm living in a free country. Everybody, are you glad you live in America? Yeah. Raise your hand if you're glad you're free in America this morning. Huh? But how many's free in the Lord? Yeah. Can I tell you, it's a whole lot better to be free in the Lord than it is to be a free American. I can be in bondage in a communist country and be free in the Lord. Are you hearing me? I can be in a jailhouse in the very bottom pit in China where you're not allowed to be a Christian and still be free in the Lord. I don't have to have nothing else. I got Christ. Are we okay with that? Think about that. He said, loose him and let him go. Huh? Yeah. John 11:43-44. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. There he is. There he is. He's trying to get around. He's trying to raise up, but he's bound. Huh? We try to raise up, but we're bound with him. We try to raise up and praise him, but something holds us back. We try to raise our hands up, and we get it up there and scratch our face instead of going on up with it. We'll try to praise him, and we'll get all choked up. We'll try. But we got to get rid of them grave clothes. We got to be let go. Huh? Loose him. It's one thing to rise. It's one thing to have life. But it's another thing to be let go this morning. And we need to learn to let go. Huh? Let him go. Free. That's what we're talking about. Free. When you let go, you're free this morning. I hate to be bad. I had to take that coat off. I'm just bound. Long sleeve shirt. I hate a long sleeve shirt, but that's all I can find to fit this fat body. All right? And then put a coat on top of that. I like to be loose. I like to be free. Huh? And I like to come to the church house, and I can't stand dead religion. And I hate to come to church and be bound. I went to some of these churches, and I walked in and said, oh, Lord, help me. They're going to be dry. No, they're going to be dry. Sanctimonious and everybody just right now. I just can't help it. I can't be like that. And I've had people come and thank me for amen and in the service. I've amen to preacher and amen to singing. And had several people come by and said, we really appreciate you encouraging our preacher. And the Baptist church, I said, oh, you're pitiful. Think about it. I'm free. Listen, I'm free this morning. You ain't going to bind me this morning. I'm sorry. You ain't going to do it. Hey, I'm free in the Lord this morning. Huh? I'm going to enjoy Him. Now, if you don't want to, that's your business. You're just missing out. You're just missing out. Free, being at liberty. Not being under necessity or restraint. To remove from a thing any encumbrance or obstruction. To set at liberty. To rescue or release from slavery, captivity, or confinement. To loose. Huh? That's what free is. Huh? Loose him. Let him go. Free. Huh? Let a bird go. Let him go free. You know, I think it says over in Psalms, you know, had it not been for the Lord, you know, who was on our side, and how I am freed like a bird in this boy just lets me. That's what he done for me this morning. He set me free. I'm free indeed. How many songs? I'm free. I'm free. Man, we can sing it all this morning, but we don't just need to sing it. We don't just need to read it. We need to live it. Ah, we're free. Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This is Jesus speaking now. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance, freedom, if you would, to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty, freedom, them that are bruised. That's what He come for. He come to free you. He come to free you. Huh? John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Huh? How about John 8:36? If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Listen, you can be free and then free indeed. That's like life and life fully. Alright? It gets more and better and greater. Huh? But you gotta want it. You gotta want it. See, we'll show you at the end, everybody don't want to be free. Everybody don't want to be free. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, the freedom, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Paul's writing to the church of Galatia, and they were trying to mingle in the law and trying to be bound, and where they couldn't enjoy what Christ had done. Paul said, "No, no, 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 no." He said, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." He has made you free. See, you're already made free. The jail door's open.
Amen.
But you're still sitting on the bunk. You won't get out. The door ain't locked.
Right.
Huh? He done took the hinges off of it. It ain't even partially shut. There ain't no door blocking you. You're free. Huh? Think about that. Everybody okay? We see plainly that the Lord wants us to be free, to have liberty, and He has a plan. Huh? Listen, we've already been prisoners. We've been prisoners after we've been saved. We've been prisoners in churches. We've been prisoners where we couldn't serve the Lord, where we couldn't worship the Lord. We've been prisoners there. We've been bound to where we couldn't do what the Bible said and still went to church. Huh? But we didn't have to. But we chose to. Huh? He then put His Spirit in us, though. He made us free. He put His Spirit in us, and we have complete liberty in Christ. Now, I want everybody to look at me. I don't know that everybody got this in their mind and their heart yet. I want everybody to look at me this morning. If you're saved, the Holy Ghost of God lives in you. God in His Spirit moved in Christ in you, hope of glory. If you're saved, He's there.
Yes, He is.
Are you hearing me? If you're saved, He's there. If He's there, you're free. Think about that. And if you're free, you're free indeed. If you want. Okay? We still okay? Now, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. He lives in you. Therefore, there's liberty." He lives in you. Therefore, there's liberty. There's freedom. We say we live in a free country. Well, we don't. You don't own your car. You don't own your property. You don't own your house. And you'll find that out if you don't pay your property tax. They'll come and get your house. They say, "Well, they won't come and get it. They'll just tell you that we're auctioning off your house on the courthouse steps, and you don't have it no more." But you say, "Wait a minute, it's mine." No, you don't own that. But you live in a free country. See, we live in a democracy. That means the whole town can vote and put you out. Everybody loves democracy. I don't like democracy myself. Just want y'all to know, I'm against democracy.
Amen.
I'm for a republic.
Amen.
Just so you'll know that. Now, that I've blowed your mind now, y'all don't even have a clue what I'm talking about. So, all right? But y'all can vote. Y'all can vote me out for no reason. That's a democracy. Fair or unfair. Republic's fair. That's another lesson. I've been trying to get you to understand we're free. Is everybody okay? We're free. I think I lost everybody. There's some changes going to happen when you're let go. Now we're going to have to look at some things here. Look at some scripture. Look at Lazarus. Now I want you to picture Lazarus now. Go with me now. We're not trying to add to the Bible. We're going to try and get you thinking a little bit. Now here you got Lazarus. All right, think about this. He died. He was sick and he died. Well, he didn't know nothing about it. He died. They wrapped him up, stuck him in a hole in the ground, put a rock over the hole, and he's there 4 days in hot climate. He stunk.
Yeah.
He started rotting.
Yeah.
All right? Now, I'm not trying to be gory or anything, but as he started rotting, that's the reason they wrap him in all them spices so they don't stink so bad.
Right.
And it wasn't nothing because they thought all of them, but they just thought all of themselves. They didn't want to smell all the dead people. So here his body's decomposing and his insides is done turned loose and everything's done soaking in them old grave clothes. Ain't that a sight? And here he comes out of the grave.
Yeah.
Comes out there hopping. They open up the tomb. Lazarus come forth, and the Bible says he come forth.
Yeah.
But he was tied up, so he must have been hopping. He couldn't walk. He must have been homicide. He said, loose him. That's what we preached last Sunday. Loose him. So they unwrapped him. Now, can you imagine what they was expecting when they unwrapped him?
Yeah.
But that ain't what they found.
Right.
When they unwrapped him, they wasn't no rot.
Right.
When they wrapped him, there wasn't no stripes or none of that where everything had done, had him pinched off and everything. He was raised. He was good shape. Everybody follow me?
Yeah.
I wonder what he thought.
Yeah.
Huh? Have you ever thought, wonder what Lazarus thought?
Yeah.
Wonder what his take on all this was. We know what everybody else's take on it was. But wonder what Lazarus' take was. He said, something had just happened to me.
Yeah.
Man, I feel fully alive.
Yeah.
Don't you figure?
Yeah.
Huh? I bet he didn't say, man, I feel a little better. I bet he didn't say he felt a little better. Man, I'm fully alive. I ain't dead no more.
Right.
Now you follow me?
Yeah.
See, it's going to affect you some way when you figure out you ain't dead no more.
Right. Yeah.
When you can be fully alive, you're going to think about things just a little bit different.
Yeah, right.
You're going to have a little bit different attitude.
Yeah.
And I believe maybe the first thing that's going to happen maybe is your mind will change.
Yeah.
Huh? See, for you to become fully alive, and when you become fully alive, there's going to be some changes in your mind. See, your biggest trouble this morning is your mind. It's not your heart. The biggest trouble you got is your mind. See, a lot of you, I shouldn't say all of you because I don't know all of you what you're doing, but I doubt that all of us is going out on the town and drinking, cussing, swarping, and having all kinds of affairs and shack ups and doing all this. I'm sure everybody ain't. Some of you might be, but everybody ain't doing that. Some of you been reading your Bible, praying, and witnessing, and doing right, right? But you got trouble with your mind. You got trouble with your mind. You're not fully alive because your mind won't let you. Huh? And God knows that. That's why He put some scripture in here to help us. Matthew 22:37 says this, Jesus said to them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and what?
All
See, there's something about your mind that's got to come in here too.
Right. Right.
See, we get saved, He comes in our heart. He gives us the Holy Spirit of God. He moves in. But there's going to have to be a work on your mind as well. See, sometimes we overthink everything. Sometimes we think too much. We try to figure it all out. And sometimes we need to just let our mind alone. Huh? Is everybody following me this morning? Acts 20:19 says, serving the Lord with all humility of what?
Mind.
See, there's something about our mind when it comes to the Lord that there's got to be a change in our mind. I believe Lazarus, when he come out, I think some things changed in his mind.
Yeah.
I'd say so. Yeah. I don't think he thought the same way no more. I don't think his ideas were the same anymore. I don't think you can be dead and then alive and then be fully alive and be the same. I'm just here to tell you, when you're fully alive, you're not going to think about the things you normally think about. When you're fully alive, you're not going to think about what other people think. Lazarus didn't come out and say, "Did I hop right?" Oh, they should have took the left bandage off instead of they took the right one off first. We think about stuff like that. When I raised my hand, did I go too high? When I said amen, was it too loud? When I shouted, was that foolish? Now, I'm just giving some instances there. When I read my Bible through, was I being a fanatic? When I prayed all night, was I doing too much? When I decided to go knocking on doors witnessing all day, was I being too self-righteous? Do y'all ever think about after you've done something or before you get ready to do something, well, should I do this? Sure have, because you've done said you have. The Lord told me I ought to testify, but I said no. Well, that where'd that come from? Out of your mind. Well, I should have went and talked to them. But you didn't. Why? Because your heart was bad? No, because your mind was messing with you. Huh? Listen, I've talked to thousands of people. I talk to people every week, and I still at times drove around the house 5 or 6 times before I got up enough nerve to go knock on it. I still drove by hoping they wouldn't be there so I could say, well, they wasn't there. I've done that. Huh? You know where the problem was? My mind. We're going to have to come fully alive and let our mind be changed.
Yeah.
See, you're not going to be fully alive if you don't change your mind this morning.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
If you don't change your mind about it, you're going to stay the same. Hang with me now. Acts 20:19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the laying and weight of the Jews. Let's look on. How about Ephesians 4:22-23? That you put off concerning the former conversation, which is the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in what? Why is it there? Why is it there if there's not a mind problem? Lazarus had I believe with all my heart, Lazarus' mind was changed because we're going to see some things that he did different. Huh? We're going to see some things that he did different in just a moment because of mind change. Hear me this morning. Your mind is what controls you. You don't go by your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Huh? But it'll work on your mind.
Yes.
Them voices. Everybody laughs at me because I talk about talking to myself and all these voices. You talk to yourself. You got mind trouble. You're nutty as I am. You'll sit there and wonder if anybody really wants you here. You'll sit there and think to yourself, well, I probably should be somewhere else. You'll sit there and think, well, I don't know what they're so happy about. Where's that at? It ain't in your heart, it ain't in your feet, it's in your mind.
Right.
And he said we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. When he said, loose him, and listen, Lazarus was bound up, he couldn't talk, couldn't see, couldn't hear. The only person he could hear was the Lord.
Amen.
Is everybody still okay with me?
Yes.
When you're let go, you're free within.
Yes.
See, that's where your freedom's going to have to come, is inside this.
Yeah.
All right? We don't bind you here at the church. Huh? You're not bound. Singers ain't bound. Huh? We do a certain order of service because we're not going to sit there and look at one another. Huh? We're going to sit there and see who does what. Not going to pump you for a testimony. You want to testify? You're allowed to. You want to pray? You're allowed to. You want to sing? You're allowed to. We don't tell you you can't, but we're not going to sit there and wait on you. All right? We're going to move on. There's got to be a certain order of things. You know, it ain't because you ain't free. It's because you're upset with your mind. You need to be free within. Are you free inside? Really? Think about it. Are you really free inside? I'm trying to help us. Your manners will change. Your mind will change and your manners will change. What you do, how you act, is going to change when you come fully alive. Now, I believe that we got full proof that Lazarus done some things a little different. All right? Lazarus was different. His actions were different. And when he came fully alive, there's something he desired that, if you read your scripture closely, he didn't desire to start with. All right? Let's go on. That flipped in. Look in John 12, 1 and 2. It says, this is after Lazarus come out. He was loosed and let go. Everybody follow me?
Yes.
Now, we got a dead spot in here. We hit a cold spot. Everybody pay attention to me right now. We got a cold spot all of a sudden when it's preaching on the mind.
Yeah.
I can discern that. And I'm not an idiot. So let's get out of that now.
Amen.
Let's get our mind back on. Pay attention.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we want help this morning.
Amen. Yes.
We okay?
Yes.
I'm not going to let the devil beat us out of this morning.
Amen.
Let him go. Free.
Amen.
Free.
Amen.
John 12, 1 and 2 says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, you'll say, well, we already know that. That already happened. Well, can I tell you, that's not the only time, from where I read your scripture, that's not the only time that they sat at meal together. Because in Luke chapter 10, Lazarus wasn't there. In Luke chapter 10, Mary and Martha was there, and Jesus had a supper, and Mary, that's when Mary complained, or Martha complained that Mary wasn't serving. That wasn't here. Lazarus wasn't there. See, Martha and Mary were fellowshipping with the Lord long before their brother was. But when their brother become fully alive, the next time they have a dinner, Lazarus is there. See, what my point is when you come fully alive, you're going to seek the fellowship of the Lord. Are you following me? Now, you can go back there and check me out on the scripture, but this is not the same account when Jesus went by Bethany and Mary and Martha was there and Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And Mary said at his feet, Lazarus ain't mentioned.
That's right.
We okay?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 1, 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the what?
Fellowship
of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I tell you, when we mention fellowship, most of the time we mention fellowship is with us right here. But it's the fellowship with the Lord. Jared preached this Sunday night about our fellowship, our relationship, how that we ruin it, and how we need it restored, and then how we need to let it ripen. He preached a great message Sunday night. And when I can I tell you this morning that when you seek the fellowship of the Lord, you're coming fully alive. And I'm going to ask you this morning, right face to face, do you seek the fellowship of the Lord daily? Do you seek His fellowship? I'm not asking you if you read your Bible. I'm not asking if you pray a 10-cent prayer. I'm asking, do you seek the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you seek His fellowship? When you come fully alive, you'll be seeking that communion and that fellowship with Him, that somewhere the world's going to have to be turned off, and it's you and Him.
That is right.
Huh? And I think the majority missed that. We contend on church, we're contend on I play gospel music all the time. Well, all music is not gospel music. All gospel music ain't good to listen to. If the doctrine ain't right, you shouldn't listen to the songs.
Yes, sir.
Let me go ahead and say it again. If the doctrine ain't right, you shouldn't listen to the song. And don't care how good it sounds.
Amen.
The fellowship with Christ is to partake of His grace. When you partake of His grace, He gives it, but you enjoy it. When you have communion, you partake of the bread and the juice. You take it and you enjoy it, right? Are you a partaker of His grace? I'm asking you. Y'all can talk to me. When I ask a question like that, then yes, no, y'all can ask it. Okay? The fellowship of Christ is to partake of His grace and to be heirs of the glory with Him. Do you understand that you're an heir and a joint heir?
Yes.
Amen.
You're an heir and a joint heir.
Yes.
And the glory that God has,
yes,
that He will give us when we get to see, when we glorified like Christ.
Yes.
Think about that. Huh? To enjoy communion with Him in private and public. I know why we don't enjoy Him in public. Because we don't fellowship with Him in private.
Right. You are right.
See, and I'm not saying you have to be like this. I'm just going to show you an example. Me and Rebel was talking about this, and some of us downstairs the other day. Miss Hope can testify to this. Hope, he's been good when you've hoed your garden, ain't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they people heard Miss Hope shout when she's hoeing her corn.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
I know people that shouted down. They was out cleaning the barn.
Yeah.
They had a shouting spell out cleaning the barn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Damon Moore worked on a crew at Cannelton Coal Mines. And they were six preachers on one crew. Can you imagine? They run more coal. They had church. And they'd have to shut the machine down. They'd have shouting fits down there on the section in the coal mine. Running coal. Wasn't in church. Didn't have no piano, no music. But somebody just got to praying over in a corner.
Yeah.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
Do you do that? Does it have to be a church? Is there any time that you commune and fellowship with the Lord? Huh? I've heard my papa talk about digging ginseng, and he said I couldn't dig no ginseng. He said I couldn't have found a foreign prong if it was up to my chest. He said for the tears that was coming down my face when I realized the grace of God and the glory of God. I'm telling you this morning, there's something real that we're missing, and it's because we've been satisfied with being alive instead of fully alive. And I'm afraid that the majority in this church this morning don't walk with the Lord. You know the Lord, you'll talk to the Lord, but you don't walk with the Lord. You're not fully alive.
Help us, Lord.
And the world has slipped in and taken His place. He's good in the morning by yourself. He's good at noon. He's good at night. He's good in the middle of the night. He's good on the job. He's good in the church house. He's good in the hospital. Huh? He's good wherever you're at. I can't go without Him. Wherever I go, He's there. I can have fellowship anytime I want. Huh? But I'm afraid we know the Lord, but we don't walk with the Lord. It says this, to enjoy communion with Him in private. Now, I copied this out of a theological book. All right? This ain't me. This is a So which is evidence? Now, let me go back. That fellowship with Christ is evidence of being in Him. For it's not just the fellowship of His saints or churches, but into the fellowship of His Son. Everybody getting this morning? Listen, I'm trying to help us. Now, y'all know, and I would love for the whole county to come to church here. You know that. But listen, if ain't but 10 of us that were on fire for the Lord, then wonderful. Huh? But a church of dead people ain't no good. Huh? Are you hearing me this morning? We don't have to be dead. Loose him, let him go. Huh? You still okay? When you're let go, you're free to worship. See, Lazarus went to the table. You're allowed to come to the table. Huh? You're allowed to come to the table. Lazarus hadn't been at the table. Mary and Martha had, but Lazarus hadn't been. Now, in John chapter 12, Lazarus is there, and Mary is washing Jesus' feet with her hand, her tears. Huh? See, two different accounts. Does everybody follow me this morning? I hope. And then your message will change. Your mind will change, your manners will change, and your message will change. Huh? John 11:45 says, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him." All right? Because of what happened to Lazarus, many believed. Did you know? Look at me. If you'll get fully alive, many will believe.
That's right. Amen. Yes. Yes, that's right.
Many will believe. You know why? Because they're going to see they're missing something. Huh? We okay? How about John 12:10-11? "But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death." When you get fully alive, your message has changed. It's going to target you. There are going to be people look at you different. They're going to talk about you. They're going to be after you. Huh? Because why? It says, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Because of Lazarus, many believed, but not till he was fully alive. Your message will change. What message are you sending out? Church is just that. Fellowship for life. Pray now. No big deal. No priority. Are you hearing me? It's no priority. It's not number one. It's just in our schedule. And we change our schedule. We change our schedule. We don't change our schedule around church. We change church around our schedule. We change the Bible around our schedule. Well, I didn't have time to read. We had time to do everything else. Don't say you didn't have time to read. Well, I didn't have time to pray. No, quit lying. You never took the time. You had the same amount of time you had every other day. You say, "Yeah, but I had to get up at 5 and do this." Then get up at 4 and read. The key to anything is just sleep less. If you've got 6 days to get a job done and you don't think you can do it, then you work 6 days and 6 nights. That gives you 12 days. So you got twice as much time to do it. Would that not make sense? If I'm going to work 8 hours or 10 hours in a day and I can't get it done in 60 hours, then I'll just double over and I'll get her done in 120. Everybody in here has done it. Huh? I used to work for Dave Butler. He'd make me cut timber all day. by myself. And then make me stay with him while we built road all night so we could cut timber all the next day. So we just go to work and we didn't know when we would come home. Because it was just me and him. And then we didn't know if we were going to get paid for it.
Yeah.
Okay. See, it ain't got nothing to do with time.
Right.
Is everybody hearing me?
Yeah, yes,
I've heard people say, I didn't have time to eat. I didn't have time to sleep. Our message will change. When you let go, you're free to witness.
Yeah.
I'm going to quit. I'm losing you. You're getting tired on me. Can I tell you what will help all y'all?
Yeah.
Huh? Since it's going to finish me up on Sunday morning, this, if y'all go to bed on Saturday night, you'll be awake on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Y'all will stay out of the world. I doubt very seriously all of you praying all night. So if y'all just stay out of the world on Saturday, maybe we'd have a better service on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Good.
You're
right.
Yeah.
Huh? Right. Might as well be playing. Might as well go ahead and get it all out.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Why don't we just go ahead and live for the Lord?
Amen.
Why don't we just be full of life? Why don't we just go ahead and loose him and let him go?
Yeah.
Huh? But the sad part is everybody don't want to be free. Pay close attention. Acts 7:38-39 said, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrusting from them and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. Well, wait a minute. Egypt is where they was bound. They didn't want to be free. And I'm afraid there's some of us here this morning that don't want to be free. They're worried about their own lust. Right, there we are. Right there is where we're at this morning. Now, do you see what's on that picture? Can you make it out, everybody? Can you make out that picture?
Yep.
You got a man in jail, and he got a key to get out or a loaf of bread.
Yep.
And he'd rather be locked up with his own lust than be free.
Yeah.
That's about as plain as it gets right there. What do you want? What do you want? Lucy! Let him go. The thief coming of it for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Coming fully alive. That's our theme. You're going to hear the theme every week till December the 31st. You're going to hear this theme every week, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday, every prayer request over the message, every message that I send, you're going to hear coming fully alive. I'll tell you this, come alive. No, come fully alive in 25. Father, you speak to us. You move us. You change us. In Jesus' name, amen.